Good morning, Arizona homeowners. Welcome to Rosie on the House. Come with us around back and let's see what Mr. John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service has for us today as we're talking trees. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can text questions to 411-923, or if you have some plant tree identification, you like to snap a picture, email that to info@rosieonthehouse.com. Mr. Eisenhower, you have a special guest with you today.
I do. There's another set of footprints walking through that backyard, and it's Dr. Chris Martin, a friend of mine from ASU, a professor and colleague, and I just introduced him to someone outside as one of my mentors in the industry, and I would truly consider him that. He's just a great instructor, educator, and also happens to be a lover of trees.
So, welcome, Mr. Martin. Dr. Martin. Professor Martin.
Yes, Chris.
Well, thank you all. It's amazing honor to be here with you this morning. I look forward to our conversations about trees, our passion.
Well, we have our tree topics today are going to cover some irrigation. We're going to talk a little bit about pruning. As the spring has sprung and you're heading out into your garden with your pruners, your hand pruners or your loppers, we want to talk about sustainable pruning practices. Just yesterday, I had the privilege of teaching a class on sustainable pruning to 65 industry professionals over at the Agricultural Extension Office. And it's I'm so glad that this has dovetailed with this visit by Dr. Chris Martin, because he is part of the School of Sustainability at ASU and teaches on landscape sustainability and proper landscape practices, which he can talk to us a little bit more about. Can you tell us a little bit more, just your background and how that ties in with sustainability?
Sure, John. I've been at ASU since 1990. I've been at the ASU Polytechnic campus, is the actual physical location, since 2003 out there in the very southeast portion of the valley. I am involved with the overseeing and teaching into the horticulture program that we've had at Arizona State University since the 1970s. It's a joy and passion to be able to train students, future leaders in the horticulture industry, and many of them go into tree care and are certified arborists now, and that's a real joy. Technically, I'm a part of the science and mathematics faculty in the College of Integrated Sciences and Arts. I also have a joint appointment in the School of Sustainability on the Tempe campus.
I was looking at some of the classes you're offering: Southwest Home Gardening, Organic Gardening, which really have a wide, probably attraction for students from various backgrounds. But in addition to that, you also teach on landscape plants, sustainable landscape practices, and, of course, urban forestry, which is right in my wheelhouse. But, no, it's great to have you here today to kind of weigh in on some of these practices. What is the whole trend in your academic world with regard to sustainability?
Well, sustainability becomes sort of an arching over overcasting umbrella that drives pretty much everything that we try to do and accomplish, both in terms of education and also the way we live at Arizona State University. It's looking at resource utilization and conserving resources, at the same time optimizing and optimizing practices so that what we do is smart, what we do is environmentally smart, both now and also looking down the road for future generations and understanding that what we do now, we can certainly talk about that with regards to trees too, but what we do now has effects 10, 20, 30 years down the road.
Well, and it comes down to practical landscape decisions that we're making. We talked yesterday in our class about the importance of tree selection and having the right trees in the right place. And those critical decisions will have long-term downstream effects on the success of our environment, of those planting sites, and also the amount of energy needed to sustain them. We also talked about proper pruning practices as well. And you teach along those lines as well. Can you talk to me a little bit about how you approach pruning practices and some of the critical things that are necessary to have a sustainable landscape?
Well, I think first of all we have to develop a context, and you know, most of the work that we are talking about, that we're educating students and, you know, talking to industry and all that sort of thing, deals within an urban context. And so first of all, we have to understand that we're talking about the growing of trees in cities. And cities are very unique. They have their own unique issues, problems that we need to take into full consideration when ultimately caring for trees. And like you mentioned so correctly, it begins with picking the right tree. And the right tree for the right place is a mantra that we oftentimes hammer people with, because you make that first right decision, and that first right decision benefits you many, many times over, you know, years down the road.
Well, some of the limiting factors in our built environments are the space we have to put our trees in. And I know that, you know, you did some studies on traffic islands and some of these very small little areas where trees have been planted and the varying degrees of success in doing that. Can you talk a little bit about allowing adequate rooting space for the trees that we install?
Yeah, I think one of the big misnomers people have is the natural form of a root system of a tree and what it looks like. And I know when I'm instructing students, like in my urban forestry class, one of the first things I talk to them about is, well, what does a root system, a good, healthy root system, look like? And I ask them, well, have you ever been to IHOP, you know, the International House of Pancakes? And, you know, some of
them broke college students, they probably all live there.
So I tell them, tree roots, a healthy root system is like a pancake. You know, it looks like a pancake beneath the ground. And, you know, sometimes we have short stacks, and sometimes we, you know, particularly the college students, you get like the big stack of pancakes. But their root system is like that. It extends out far beyond the drip line, as we would say. And so understanding the extent of a normal root zone is really important, because we have to provision that in order to have a healthy tree in the first place. And one of the problems that we have in urban areas is the constriction upon that space that a tree root system would need. And that affects the tree and its future growth.
So would butter be the fertilizer and syrup the water?
Exactly. Maple, real butter.
Real butter. Well, you know, we have once you've determined the mature size of your tree and you know what that root system is going to be looking like, you can then select an adequate space, you know, above ground, of course, to handle the canopy, but also allowing adequate below ground space for that size tree. If you have a limited planting space, it might be better than to select a tree that's a little bit smaller at maturity, which will have a smaller root system, which won't demand so much space, and you'll have a much more successful tree. The third thing we looked at yesterday with regard to sustainable pruning practices was to minimize the leaf loss by pruning conservatively. And can you talk a little bit about the need for plants to have adequate leaf surface?
Wow, you've hit upon a gold mine there. What a great point. What a great, great point. So the canopy, which is the integration of all leaves on a tree, serves multiple functions. It's the natural mechanism by which the tree shades itself. Mm-hmm. And so to have dense leaf area is maximizing the ability of that tree to shade itself, the trunk, the branches, from the sunlight, and that's a huge
critical here in Arizona.
Yeah,
that's sure.
Critical, absolutely critical here. Second, the leaf area is the point at which water, liquid water, as it passes through the tree, evaporates and moves out into the air through a process we call transpiration. And as anyone knows who's swam in a pool here in Arizona, when you get out of that pool, you feel cool. Mm-hmm. Even when it's 120 degrees or 115 degrees outside, you'll feel a little bit of a chill. And that's because energy is consumed when that liquid water is changed to a gas and transpires away. And so that transpirational process in the leaf is also like the tree's air conditioning system.
Mm-hmm.
It's why trees, many trees, are able to actually live here in the desert. They're able to lose water and keep themselves cool and shade themselves. The third point is the more obvious one. It's the place where photosynthesis occurs, where carbon dioxide is changed into complex carbon starch and sugars and that sort of thing. And so,
which are the plant's energy reserves that it needs to function?
Yes. And so when we prune extensively and remove that canopy leaf area, we are basically putting the tree on a diet.
You've taken 30% of the tree's foliage, and so you've sort of told it to live on breakfast and lunch because you've just taken its dinner.
Yeah, exactly right. And so that has an effect. It has an effect on the tree's ability to grow, to partition energy, to do the things that it needs to do, flower, fruit, grow secondary wood.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday, that you know, plants have the ability to partition those energy reserves toward new growth, toward reproduction, and toward defense. And those three critical functions are needed for that tree to live into the future, to be healthy, and to provide those functions. So if we're taking out heavy dosages of pruning in any one pruning cycle, we've handicapped the tree to the extent that it doesn't have the photosynthetic capacity to create those energy reserves. It might have to draw upon some stored energy reserves. And then the trees, we're pushing the tree into an area of stress where it might be more susceptible. If it's putting all of its energy into a bloom cycle like right now, a lot of trees have a bloom on. We want to be careful because then it won't have the necessary reserves for defense and for new growth.
Join the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you with John Eisenhower, Certified Arborist of Integrity Tree Service, and Dr. Chris Martin of ASU Polytech Campus, which I had the opportunity to tour last year. We're going to talk about a little bit more. Beautiful campus that y'all have done with the horticultural design and landscape. It's just absolutely worth the time to get out to West Globe to check it out. It's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.